Brings us to subset B under reports. This is consideration to adjust the City of Sturgis ambulance service response area. Mr. Ainsley, I'm going to turn it back over to you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Again, we've already discussed a lot of this, so I don't want to take a lot of time. If you could use the second slides. Sorry. As was discussed, ever since 2012, the city has been asking for a more equitable solution for funding for ambulance and fire services. And throughout 2017 and 18, there were several town hall meetings to discuss the need for ongoing funding for both services. And ultimately, that culminated in a tax district vote, two separate votes, one for an ambulance service and one for a fire service area. And unfortunately, both of those were ultimately defeated. The fire was defeated by 10 votes, and the ambulance was defeated by 25 votes. After that, similar to what Mr. Lamphere brought up, there was a lot of discussion that a lot of the concern was brought up that the city was too involved in that. And with that, again, the reason why the city was involved in that is because, again, there had been discussions for, again, more than half a decade to try to have a more equitable funding solution for it. And ultimately, there was no resolution to that. And so that's what culminated ultimately in that tax district vote. During the numerous town hall meetings that we had, there were several points of concern that were raised by residents of Meade County. The first was Lawrence County, because we do provide both ambulance as well as volunteer, Sturgis Volunteer Fire Department services into Lawrence County. And at the beginning of this, I do want to note, as the mayor said, the Volunteer Fire Department is a separate entity. However, the city works very closely with that separate entity. Looking at that, the Lawrence County does provide an annual payment to the Volunteer Fire Department. The money that is generated from the property taxes that are raised in Boulder Canyon are given directly to the Volunteer Fire Department. In addition, there's an additional mill that everyone pays in Lawrence County. And so all of those properties that are serviced by the Volunteer Fire Department, by the Sturgis Volunteer Fire Department, receives money directly from Lawrence County. So similar to a property inside the city limits of Sturgis, there's an additional payment that goes to the Volunteer Fire Department. In addition, earlier during the meeting, the council has approved, number one, a modified response area with Lawrence County for our ambulance service, which reduces that, and also an annual payment from Lawrence County. So that first concern has been dealt with, that Lawrence County does provide payments to the Volunteer Fire Department, and also now will start paying to the Sturgis Ambulance Service. The second is the Meade County Jail transport of inmates, and that is something that for a long time the Ambulance Service has been providing transports of Meade County inmates from the jail facility to the hospital. In 2017, there were 99. I just recall that off the top of my memory, remembering 99. I don't remember what it was in 2018. But at the same point, the Meade County has been willing, and we entered into a revised contract with them, I believe, last month, or it might have been 2 months ago, that did increase their amount that they were paying to the ambulance service that does cover that. So there was an additional payment that is starting to be made now this year to pay for that. So the second concern was brought up. The third concern that was brought up was campground participation. As everyone recalls, the last hour or so, we have discussed that. And the last still that comes up is services to areas outside the city during non-rally times. The Sturgis Fire and Ambulance Services funding. In 2018, the City of Sturgis provided $97,306 to the ambulance for building insurance, billing, etc., all of that total services. If you look at the total cost of $250,000, that's what that $97,000 is a part of. In addition, as I said, We should have purchased another ambulance last year, but we did not because of the funding shortfall. So that's how it's $250,000 of a loss in 2018. In 2018, to the volunteer fire department, $152,000 was provided to the volunteer fire department. About a third of that was a direct check contribution to the volunteer fire department. The other two-thirds was paying for operations. So fuel, pretty much whatever fuel bill came from the volunteer fire department, despite wherever the fire was, the city paid for, the same as hoses and everything like that. $8,800 for half of the payment to the bank for the actual building, and also $15,000 in fundraising efforts during the rally. That's largely the mayor's ride. So the total investment from the city of Sturgis into the fire and ambulance services was $273,000. And talking with the volunteer fire department, it's also important to note that they do, in addition to the mayor's ride, there's also fundraising efforts that occur. They raise about $31,000 a year. And that's through their fundraising efforts. About 20,000 of that comes from residents within the city. About $11,000 comes from areas in the county. In addition, there is about $50,000 a year that comes from property tax insurance reimbursements, and about 60% of that originates from the city, about 40% from the county. So again, if you look at the total operating budgets of the fire department, the city truly makes up about 75 to 80% of that total budget. And if you look at the fires, less than 50% of the fires are within the city limits. The first paragraph here, again, is just talking about the property tax reimbursement, everything else for the fire department. Again, two-thirds of the donations and reimbursements are from the city, even though 50% of the calls are from outside the city. If you look at the ambulance service can charge for services. That pays for about 81% of the total costs, but the remaining 19% has to be paid by someone, and that ends up becoming the city of Sturgis. Just for everyone to look at the total numbers for 2018, if you look at our Medicaid billings, we received on average 20% of what we billed out for Medicaid. If you look at Medicare, it's about 50%. Private insurances are 60%. We don't have Fort Meade on there, but we should say Fort Meade. They make up, I think, 18, 19% of the calls. They really pay about 100% of what we bill. And also private pay reimbursements are about 75%. So when we hear from individuals occasionally stating, if we're not making enough money, then just charge more. The problem is, if we were to charge more for our services, all those various classes of patients that would pay for our services, the only individuals that would actually pay a higher fee would be those private pay reimbursements, which make up about 20% of our patients. And so if we were to raise our fees high enough to make up that 19%, you'd have to raise it even higher because only 20% of the people would even pay that additional fee. So there comes a point that it's not truly equitable to charge a private pay person $3,000 and realize that someone on private insurance is really going to end up paying $300 for that. Given the recent cancellation of our previous operating agreement with Meade County, it is questionable whether the city truly is authorized to even proceed outside the city limits. That's something that our attorney has brought up and is a valid point, that our operating agreement with Meade County has expired as of December, I think, 19th. And so at any point, there should be some sort of authorization from the county to adopt our response area or to recognize that response area, because we are operating beyond our city limits, even though we don't have an operating agreement with the county. And I do want to reiterate what Commissioner Creed has brought up, which is something that the city has heard for the last several years as we brought this forward, is that the city is essentially properties in the city of Sturgis are paying the county taxes as well as the city taxes, so we're paying twice. But if you ask the county to help assist paying these, then truly people in Somerset or Piedmont would end up paying twice as well, because they're paying for their own fire and ambulance tax districts, and then they would be paying more on their county side of their tax bills, which is why the commissioners for several years have been very reluctant to pay anything towards these sorts of services, because throughout the county, there's several areas where people end up paying for these additional districts. It's not set up like Lawrence County, where in Lawrence County, there's an equal mill that's charged across all property owners within Lawrence County. And that's why it ultimately ended up going towards a tax district vote, which, again, was unfortunately unsuccessful. Also, given the results of the election and also the responses from campground owners, there appears to be a lack of support of any additional funding at this point to really look at continuing ongoing funding for at least the ambulance service. I bring this up as the ambulance response area because the city does not directly control what the response area is to the volunteer fire department. Although at some point, I think there will need to be some sort of discussion with the volunteer fire department. Does the city continue making the size contributions that it has been, given the large area that it's responding to? The city council, regardless, will need to increase its funding support for the ambulance service in 2020, regardless of whatever decision you make tonight. Just to let you know, in the very preliminary budget for 2020, if you look at providing service within the city of Sturgis, in addition to that roughly $100,000 a year that you're already investing and that you have been investing for decades on end, we are looking at an additional $100,000 transfer from the general fund. And if you're providing, if you would continue to provide service to 20% of Meade County as well, then instead of that $100,000, it would probably have to be about $140,000, $160,000 in that neighborhood. So again, if you continue to provide service for 20% of Meade County, that's going to result in a higher transfer that's going to have to be made in 2020. So the staff's recommendation is to adjust your response area. And by adjusting the response area, I'll ask Faye to put this map up. You can see in this map the crossed areas are the areas that we are currently providing service for. The red area, the red boundary, is where the staff's recommendation to you is where we would set that response area. That would be the city limits. That would be the BLM area, including Fort Meade, and also the largely Forest Service area that is south of town. And if you look, it's also including the reduced area in Lawrence County and also along I-90. And again, that's important to note that that's I-90. That's not the residential areas that are north or south of the interstate. It's truly I-90 for auto accidents. The reason when you look at that, again, Fort Meade, they pay 100% of their billings and they pay a higher percentage. That's why we can provide service there. Inside the city limits, of course, everyone's paying a higher property tax to pay for that. Auto accidents on I-90, it's a reality that you have a lot of people that are traveling along the interstate. They anticipate and expect that sort of service. In addition, auto insurances tend to have the highest reimbursement rates out of any insurance company, far higher than what private insurance is. And then the governmental lands along the Forest Service and the BLM, there are very few calls there in a year. Plus, the city does do a lot of recreational attractions that we're doing there. We're continually building more and more trails. It seems that that's appropriate for us to provide response in those areas, given that we're encouraging people to respond to that area. But truly, this would be a response area that would reflect more of a municipal service, which, again, it's a municipal service because the funding is coming from a municipality, not from a larger region. That's why that recommendation is before you now. In addition to that recommendation, the staff would recommend that this would go into effect on July 15th. That is 90 days from now. The state requires a 30-day notice, and so we would recommend that it be 90 days. Number one, to provide a longer term so that there can be a transition for these areas that would receive ambulance coverage from other areas or potentially no ambulance services. In addition, it would allow property owners in this area time to meet and to confer and see if they have a plan. As Councillor Martinson has brought forward several times, I think the city is very willing to work with any different group of property owners if they have a great solution. We have just heard over and over again from people that they do not want the city involved with it. And so I think we're more than happy to step aside and let whatever private discussions need to be held. And then if there are plans that come forward, I think in good faith, the council would love to hear those. And then at that point, if there truly is a plan that could proceed, you could look at adjusting the boundaries again to include those areas. If there's pockets, say Blucksburg or the Bestian Addition or the areas north of Sly Hill or wherever that happens to be, if people truly look at it and say, we're willing to put together, whether it's a tax district or whatever it happens to be for funding, then the council could look at it at that time. But I do think the response over the last couple of years has shown that people do not necessarily want the city to be involved in determining how they should be paying for these services. And so this is simply a reflection of that, that on July 15th, we would respond within these areas and we'd be willing to go outside it if people would want us to and ask for us to. But other than that, we'd be happy to stay within that area. Again, we would need to, in 2020, increase our general fund transfer up to $100,000. And again, that's over and above the investments of roughly $100,000 we've been making in the past. Are there any questions?
Once again, I'd just like to say if the county residents come up with something that would make sense and could present something to us in good faith, we would certainly act upon that in a very speedy manner, and hopefully things would be good for everyone in the long run.
Ultimately, Daniel, it's $60,000 roughly what we're looking for, right?
That's for the ambulance, correct?
For the ambulance, right. And Doreen, do you know how many in that 20% area of county residents there is in that roughly, would you think?
It was over 4,000 people. I know the annual report said that. Do you remember? I think it was about 4,000 people.
At one time, didn't we say that it would cost maybe about $60 per person or per household? I think at one time or another it was discussed.
Well, there were many discussions. I think if there were to be a district formed, there were many discussions as to how it would take place, and it's totally up to that new district's board. There were discussions of per household, per person.
Assessment value.
Per residence, according to assessed value, per residence flat fee. There were all kinds of discussions.
So, and once again, whatever they decide to do.
Right. Yeah. The board, their board would decide, be the governing body
how it's
of
taxed.
That.
Yeah,
how it's taxed and everything.
To answer one of the questions, I do believe the rough estimate, and again, rough, that area is about 4,000 people. If that's the case, 60,000 for 4,000 people, that's $15 a person per year.
Council, have any other comments, questions, concerns? I'll open this back up to the public. Consideration to adjust the city of Sturgis ambulance service response area.
And Ms. Rosslamp here. Could you go back to the slide? A couple of them, I don't remember which one it was.
What are you looking for?
That might have been it. No.
Go find it.
It one that I kind of take offense to is you are almost deliberately blaming the campgrounds for the loss of this, and I don't remember which slide it was that due to the campgrounds. Yeah, but Well, that wasn't it.
I
think if you're going to do that, you probably ought to include the county commission for, you know, not being involved in that. There you go. That's it. Given the results, the recent election and response from several Meade County Rally Campground owners, there appears to be a lack of support for additional funding. I don't agree with that statement at all. I think there is support for funding. We have supported it. And all this does is put a target on the campground owners, and the general public are going to blame somebody else now. I think that's inappropriate to put that on there. Thank you.
Well, it does say the election and the conversation.
And response from Meade County Rally Campground.
Okay, fine.
We're an easy target. I disagree with that.
I mean, respectfully, the letter that we received was signed by almost every campground owner that was sent in.
I think there were 19.
I can pull it. Give me a minute. Is Mr. Miller here? Can he speak to how many campgrounds did you have listed? So I think, you know, that to me that's a truthful statement in saying that the response from those campground owners was against any kind of funding.
It was against the proposal. Yeah.
During the town hall meeting, it was requested that a letter be sent out to every campground. We sent that letter out that afternoon, and it was requested that it include the maximum number of calls that were there. And so we said what we would do is say the largest number of calls that would be possible. So the largest number of calls that would be possible would include those where the dispatch had stated a campground address, including the ones that are on the highway. As we stated earlier, I think about an hour and a half ago, it would be up to the final proposal whether or not those would be counted. And so we went with the most conservative approach to say this is the largest number any campground would ever be charged. And so there was no deceit in that or anything else. It was simply stating this is the highest number that would potentially be afforded to a campground. Based on the actual proposal's decision, that would determine whether or not those calls would be included. And so right now, or at that time, we could not tell you how that would be done because we didn't know how it would be calculated. So we told you the largest number possible. But again, which during the town hall meeting, when that request was made, that's exactly what we said we would do, and we sent out that letter. I apologize if my grammar wasn't as precise as what it could have been, but again, it was trying to make sure we got that information out as quickly as possible because that was a request that was made, and they said that they wanted that information as quickly as possible. Whenever anyone called, we provided them that information to say that there were two that were on the highway, one that was in your campground, or whatever else, whenever anyone asked for clarification. Oh, I don't know, everyone that we got a list from. We got a list from the county of all their registered, and I'm not trying to blame the county at all because I'm sure their records are only as up to date as what the information that they're provided as well. But we got that information. We sent it out to everyone. And then we also sent it out to everyone that was on the list, the sign-up list on that town hall meeting. I don't know. I don't have the list in front of me.
Daniel, what would our accuracy level be at right now? If somebody from a campground got a hold of you right now at the city office, is there pretty much a guarantee that you could, within a reasonable amount of time, say this is exactly how many calls you had last year? Okay.
Yeah. All right.
So consequently, if they want any more information about this, they could probably count on their accuracy level being very, very good
and everyone,
any information they wanted, correct?
Correct. The one thing I will note, there were a couple of campgrounds that wanted to know the total amount that was charged and how much was paid. If they had one or two calls, we could not provide that information because that was a HIPAA violation. if there was an aggregate sum of three or more that we could add them together, then we could provide that information. If there's only one or two, it does. Because if there's one call, then you as a campground owner can very well know who that individual was, and you can know that Joe Smith, you know, was charged for $1,800 and didn't pay, or was charged for $1,800 and spent $200. That's why if it's an aggregate sum of three or more, we can provide that. But if it's one or two, we cannot.
Cliff, come on up. What do you got?
Seriously, comes down to I pay city and county taxes. I pay for services. If I need the services, they're there. I have never had to call for an ambulance. Been paying taxes in this town for 20 years. I donate money to the police and the fire department and the everything. It's a matter of paying, getting in the boat, having a life vest there if you do need it. It's not a matter of, you know, you're paying your fees for your services, whether you use them or not. And that, you know, I guess I'm going to go back to my chair.
Thanks.
I'm sorry, can they come to the microphone? It's very difficult to hear.
Come on up.
Yes, the question was whether people who rent out their homes or have tents that are in people's campgrounds, do they pay higher taxes? And the question is yes, they do pay higher taxes. If you have a house in the city of Sturgis, you're going to pay higher taxes than if you have a house outside the city of Sturgis.
Already.
Yes. No.
But the campgrounds aren't paying for the service to the city of Sturgis is the difference.
Is it the state?
They...
Not through the city of Sturgis.
Not
through
the city
tax.
Of Sturgis, I don't.
You can rent out your house up to
it's 12 days.
12 or 14 days, and it does not matter the amount, the dollar amount, what you rent it out for.
And that's federal
IRS. And
that is
for sales tax. And that's,
I mean, it, yeah, my tax man tells me.
But you are paying higher property tax in the city of Sturgis, and if you're a campground, which there are one, two, there's four, I believe, campgrounds in the city of Sturgis, and they pay higher property taxes as well as higher sales tax in the city of Sturgis.
Yeah, yeah, I think Terry just made a point over here. Terry, go ahead.
I guess what I'm saying is we've already voted on this. We've already discussed this. This is now about redrawn lines. We're not talking about the campground ambulance service. We're finished
that.
With that.
My house and around my campground and my fellow people that are right there next to us. I think everybody wants the same thing. I think everybody wants to provide service to everybody because, you know, it might be you out on my county road or in the Forest Service behind my house having a heart attack. It might be your grandson that fell on my pool and whacked his head, needs an ambulance. Does everybody agree?
Oh, we've talked about this quite a bit, actually.
So, instead of jumping the gun here on this, drawing this thing, is there any way that we can get a board together? I'd be willing to volunteer to be on that. Maybe with one of you councilmen, maybe some other campground owners would volunteer, and maybe we could go to the county commission and talk to them, see if we could get part of the funding.
I'd like to respond to that, Mr. Ledrick. If we have done this for the last number of years, we've been trying to get something established where we have something, but what we're hearing is the city, since we're involved, it doesn't work. So what if we redraw this? And I would hate, I this is a very difficult decision for me. I have family that lives in this town. If something should happen to them out on the county road next to you, I would feel really bad about the decision that we're going to make here. But maybe this is the only way that we can say, now you guys take the ball and run with it. You guys come up with a plan. You come to us, and we will work with you. If you want to come to us and say, we've got this many people that are willing to form a small district right down in our neighborhood. Maybe it's Pleasant Valley where you are. We'll listen to you and we'll work with you, and we'll say, yeah, you guys put together something and we'll work with you. Our Sturgis ambulance will come and provide service for you if you're willing to put together some way to pay for it.
And like many of us have said, I agree with you. I know what you're saying. Many of us have said that we've only been involved with this for about 2 months. There's quite a majority of us. Can we table this? Can we move it to a later date before a vote? Because that'll give us more time and say, hey, can we table it for till maybe right after the rally to where we have more time to congregate with some of the other people in the community, including the county commissioners and including the other campground owners, including some of the more public people, to say, hey, maybe we have another option. Maybe we have a different avenue. One other thing I would like you guys to keep in the back of your minds is some of those funds are collateral damage, just like one of the other guys spoke. I mean, we try to get as much money as we can to help support these other 4,000 people, 4,000 plus people that come into the community. That's just the residents that live here. That's a number of 4,000 residents. For 2 weeks or for about 3 months out of the year, there's way more than 4,000 people in those areas, in those forests, that do the bike paths, that do bring money into here. I would like you guys to keep that in the back of your mind, and therefore I'd like to table this till a future date. I know it's not really my position to table it, but I would like to consider that, to give us more time to maybe try to figure something out. I know you've been doing this for years. However, I don't feel that you've maybe had some of the people that are involved now. I think there's a lot more involvement. I think you got the people's eyes open a little bit, and something does need to be done. I understand that. But I also understand that you don't want your kid to bonk your head out of my pool, and you guys, you drive right by to go to the Forest Service, but you won't pull in to pick up a kid, or you deny a service because there is a car wreck on Pleasant Valley Road or over in Blacksburg. I don't want to see that happen. I don't think anybody else here does either. Thank you.
So for clarity, I just want to mention that the recommendation from staff is if there is any redrawing of service lines, it will not go into effect till July 15th, which does give opportunity for some momentum to be built up. And as Councillor Martinson stated, you know, in good faith, if somebody comes to us with a plan, we're willing to work with people, but we have to put some timelines on this because, again, I've been working on this for nearly a decade now, and it's still on the city of Sturgis, and that has to change.
Daniel, would I be correct? Okay, so this would go into effect on July 15th. But let's say in good faith, people come to us the last day of June, and it's a very reasonable proposal on their part. They're very sincere about it. They're a long ways along on this proposal. There's a lot of people involved, and there's a good amount of buy-in. Then we'd still be all right as far as changing our minds on this, correct?
Absolutely, it could be redrawn.
All right.
And also, that would not necessarily need to be the entire area. Mm-hmm. So if it's a square mile area, or if it's just the areas south of I-90 or whatever
that is. You can break it up into Pleasant Valley, Blacksburg, east of town. They can do whatever areas they would like. Correct?
Whatever they want.
Mike, do you have something to say, Mike?
You're on the wrong side of the diocese. Come on up.
No matter who you are, right, Mike?
And thanks for coming up to the microphone, too. There's a far better place in here.
I apologize for being late. It could not be helped. For the first time since 1984, when I took an Army commission, I put my family first.
Good for you.
Oh, it should be.
Anyway, I think there's something that we may have forgotten. We, the city, have absolutely no authority to entertain any type of area proposal from outside our city limits. That is the county commission that entertains a development area. Now, we can lend support to that, but it is the county who will make and draw the district. And they're not going to draw a district for a single campground. They're not going to draw a district for three campgrounds. They're going to draw a big district. So I just want to remind the council, the law is the law, and the city has no horse in the race. Thank you.
Mike or Daniel, whoever could answer this, then would probably the same time constrictions be involved here if toward the middle or end of June, if this was approved by the county commission then? Would we still be all right to go and change things back, the districts back around?
Sure. We're talking two separate things here. We're talking if there's a district, if there's an ambulance district form, the county draws those lines. But if we're talking our service area, there's two separate things.
And can I reiterate, the county does not draw those lines, but the county can approve
or disapprove.
Map.
Yep. Yes. Thanks for you,
Mr. Mayor. And
Dorian, you better come up here.
People can also petition to have an area. They can petition and or the county. So there's all kinds of latitude. But the earlier decisions are made, the better. And again, the county's more than willing to work with anyone on all of this. I just simply tried to give the county the picture, the other side of the coin as well.
Wait, when's the next county commissioners meeting then?
Well,
Confidential information.
Well, we meet as Equalization Wednesday, but that doesn't count. The next one is
the 23rd.
A week from Tuesday.
The 23rd.
So I think what
we
the time...
meet the second and fourth Tuesday of each month.
So I think what the timetable would be is if the council does approve this, then tomorrow we would be notifying the county as well as the state that this is what the city is intending our response area to be as of July 15. So that's 90 days. During that time, if there's individuals, and again, as Councillor Bashan brought up, it shouldn't be one property. It should be a neighborhood or a region. If they had petitions or if they had a plan for something besides an ambulance district, they could begin meeting with the council members, myself, to explore that. And over the next 30, 45 days, if something is presented, then at a future council meeting, the council could, in good faith then, amend your response area to include that area and then present it to the county. And I would imagine that the county would authorize that on their map and adopt their map, and then the service would continue beyond July 15 with the anticipation that that area would proceed with their vote and have it approved or with their fundraising or whatever it is that they're going to do and proceed.
That's the way I understood it. That's why I talked the way I did.
And I guess for clarity, what the district brings is for perpetuity. I mean, if someone brought forward the plan that says, look, we got X amount of dollars to make sure this works, I believe there would be some hesitation from the city if there wasn't some kind of concrete plan into perpetuity of ongoing funding annually for the service. You're not on.
I hate to talk with all of you to my back. Remember, if you are thinking of an alternate district, there is a lengthy timeline involved with that, and ultimately an election. So if you're thinking of putting something together now, you got to start right away in order to... There's 45 days here and 30 there, and then the assessor's office, it's... You got to get going.
Specifically for a district.
The county does right. have a breakdown of that timeline that we would be happy to share.
Rhea put on her other hat.
And also, though, I think for the property owners to be aware, I don't think it's the city's intention that the entire election would have had to have taken place before the council would amend this response area to include that area. I think the council would be willing, and I don't want to necessarily speak for you, but I think the council would be willing if there were already petitions that were going around and if several signatures had been, you know, gathered and maybe half the signatures or two-thirds or something like that. I think at that point the council would be willing to at least entertain adjusting the boundaries again.
You bet.
We're considering adjusting the City of Sturgis ambulance service response area. Is there further discussion, public or council? Is there a motion?
This is a very difficult decision that none of us take lightly. Well, we've got more response here.
I'm a Blacksburg resident. I work in city. I try to shop in all of Sturgis. I can go to Rapid, and I choose to shop here. I know this is petty, and I'm only one person, but I think there's a lot of people that I know. A lot of people in Blacksburg, of course, they don't show up to this to voice their opinion, but you know, we expect this. You know, even though we don't pay for it, we do pay for it because we try to shop local. And if everybody takes their business out of town, was it worth it? You know, if I need to buy a new car and I want to go buy it in town instead of going to Rapid, isn't that money for Sturgis?
No sales tax on cars.
Oh, hush.
You should know. If anybody would know, you would know.
Okay, so I used the wrong example. But, you know, I do try to shop in this town, and I patronize my local businesses here. I can't buy everything here, but I do my best to try to support Sturgis. And I realize I live outside the city, and it's not your responsibility. But, you know, sometimes we make money here, and we have to spend it. You know, we kind of like loot. We have to take away from this to pay for that. I'm not saying the wording right, but, you know, I think I'm willing as a county person to pay, but I don't think it's fair to make all the campgrounds. You know, I should be just as responsible as the campgrounds for living outside of Sturgis. So anyway, that's it.
Thank you.
I appreciate that sentiment. I appreciate hearing that opinion. You know, living here where we do, we like to talk about paying our own way. And I think that it's only fair that is done. Because when you receive services, and we're not talking about just the one time the ambulance has to come to your home payment. This is about the other 364 days of the year. It includes maintenance and training and remounts and equipment that we're talking about. You know, it's about the big picture. And this issue has, you know, it's weighed very heavily on me, and I believe everybody up here. But as a person sitting in this seat, I answer to the citizens of my ward and the citizens of this city. And that is who we have to justify where their tax money goes. And so I just believe that, you know, that's who we're responsible to. And it's unfortunate that people are feeling attacked or that they were given ultimatums. That certainly was never, I think, what I saw as the issue. I think it's unfortunate that there's people who feel that it's an us versus them kind of thing, because I just think that's unfortunate. One thing this evening, I think, that can be a positive taken from it is that the conversation and the communication doesn't stop this evening. I look at it as it's just the responsibility, the onus transfers from those of us sitting up here, those of us at City Hall, and it moves to the people who are not, you know, the 20% that do not pay for this service.
Tonight when I drove up, my first thought was, boy, the city council can sure draw a crowd. And I do not believe that, again, a lot of this goes down to communication. Those of us involved knew this was coming around. But I don't think 90% of the people who were eligible to vote in that election realize that these boundaries might be coming to reality tonight. And I believe that it would really behoove all of our local media to really blast this possibility out and to give, I wish you'd delay it for 60 days, even enactment on the map. Let the people realize really what could be coming to pass. And also the campground people, since you have indicated a willingness to participate, to meet with our rural people. And together, you folks come up with some sort of a compromise. Because none of us want to be out there where there's no ambulance, even those of us that pay for the ambulance. And I know Sean doesn't want to not go, because when the alarm comes, she's just out like, she's gone. I can't imagine holding her back or holding back any of the other people. So I do wish that, since it has been going on so long and we have all been talking so long, you know, until it really hits you right in the face, a lot of people don't really, they don't think anything's ever going to change. So 60 days, what the heck? It's been years. And 60 days won't affect any funding sources anyway.
To your point, Doreen, I think it's important to reiterate the fact that if this proposal is passed as recommended by staff, it would not go into effect till July 15th. So we got 90 days. Yep. Doreen, we got to stay focused here. We'll leave that for next Tuesday during the commission meeting.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, is there a motion? There's a motion
there's
on the floor?
There's no motion on the floor.
Yeah. Okay.
But I'm willing to accept one. Mike, come on up. Come on up, Mike. Yeah, give him a microphone.
Yeah, get a mic over to him. That's okay.
You've had a long.
Go and sit down, Mike.
I just want to remind the council that right now the heat's on and you've got a response. If you push out 90 days, what's your end date? After the rally. What I'm saying is, you're going to lose any momentum that you've gained. A delay in war is never good. And to the people in my ward, I owe them a debt. Now, and for the rest of the people that don't know me, I was one of the largest farmers and ranchers in Bear Butte Valley. I've got grandkids, sons, and daughters in my entire life. Is outside this boundary area. I worked really hard for months. I personally had 7 different farm meetings in the area from Alkali to the Vail cutoff. I'm saying the people voted. Only a fraction of the people voted. But they don't want to pay any more taxes, so they don't want the service. Pay me now or pay me later. But I'd rather pay the insurance up front. I am willing to pay, and I've told the council this, folks, I am willing to pay right up front $1,000 a year to make sure that ambulance goes to my residence in Bear Butte Valley. And they wouldn't take it. Why? Because one isn't enough. If I had 50 households doing that, I'd do it. But until people realize that the service isn't there anymore, when the service isn't there anymore, you got their attention. So I implore you, if you wait till after the rally to change that boundary, you've lost all the momentum for another year. Now, I did do a little check-in, and Sean, correct me if I'm wrong, but my point of contact in Pierre says that once this goes into effect and you pick up the phone in an area that is not designated a 911 area, the recording simply says, "We're sorry to inform you that you no longer have 911 service in your area." Click. And that's the wake-up call. When somebody's bleeding out on a baler, that's the wake-up call for rural America. Thank you.
Is there any other discussion? Or is there a motion?
And I don't I commend any of you guys sitting up here having to make this decision tonight. You know, I'm glad, you know, I'm not one of the ones up there. One of the things I want to, just a point I want to make is, say this. I mean, really, the shortfall that we're seeing outside of the city limits is only really a small fraction of, you know, what's really going on, and the shortfall that we're seeing. I mean, even if you cut out the outside area, okay, you lose 60,000. But what's up with the other 200,000? I mean, where is that going to come from? Where is that going to be made up? You know, I think there's just a lot bigger problem here than kind of the outlying area of the 20% that we're trying to deal with and talk about right now. You know, I just don't want to see another black eye in Sturgis. And we've been seeing it the last few months every time that this comes up in the media or social media. You know, it's really negative of how it's coming across on the city. I see that this could open the city up for more liability and or lawsuit. You know, especially stuff that's close and happening. If you got an ambulance sitting at Kickstart and there's an accident between me and Ross's place on the road and they're saying, well, it's at Glencoe. Well, the accident really isn't at Glencoe. And now who's at fault because you didn't come because you used my campground name or a name that is associated outside of that line. Again, I got to agree with some of these guys that, you know, maybe this vote doesn't go down tonight. And we put something together to talk more about it. And, you know, I'm willing and able to volunteer on it. And, you know, I think there's some people that are real passionate about it right now. And, you know, you got the attention of us and a lot of the other people here. You know, let's harness this attention and see if we can figure something out.
Jason, what kind of a time frame are you thinking of? You're suggesting a different time frame. What is it? We're coming up on the rally. Your campground owners are going to be here.
Well, I'm saying if we start the communication now and we start going down this road, I mean, I think if we get something done by the end of the year, you know, as Doreen said, if we need to put together a tax district board, you know, it takes time. I mean, we need to have a little bit of time to say, all right, let's get the petitions out there and get this done. I just don't want to see a lapse of any response.
How do you perceive it's going to be different putting a petition together for another district? How is that going to be different now than it was back
it could
the end
be different.
Of
I
this
mean,
last
look
year?
At the, I
five
mean,
months
now
ago.
Daniel says that we have the true numbers, where the last three times the numbers have been changing. You know, we actually have some rock solid numbers now, and it's just not kind of hearsay of, oh, we think it's this or it's that. Or
was it hearsay in November and December when the petitions were going out?
I mean, I can give you documentation that these numbers that you showed tonight are different than the ones that we got 60 days ago.
But I think Daniel admitted that in the beginning, because he said that we were working off numbers that were not ready and available to the public in the earlier
It didn't
meetings.
Really come across like that at any of the meetings. I mean, it seemed like this is what it was, and it was an ultimatum, and, you know, this is the road that we're going down. And, you know, now that we got some numbers, I mean, me personally, I know that some of these numbers might not be true anyway of what some of the responses and stuff were. Like I said, I know you guys got a hard decision tonight. My thing is, hey, let's put something together and, see if we can get something to this. I mean, let's not put a black eye on Sturgis.
And I appreciate your point, but I can remember attending a town hall back in October of 2017 at the community center. So I just don't know how gathering petitions now is going to be different than it was 6 months ago.
Go ahead.
But I think the communications for this went outside of the city limits.
And I remember that meeting back then, and I do remember Jason Sims was at that meeting. So I think this has been going on for some time, and there has been a lot of communications. It's been in the newspaper, and I'm sorry if you weren't aware of it, but there has been a lot of communication on this.
And I do know that that was the city's intent of asking for a written proposal by March 15th, because that provided a month to see if there were any other ideas. And during that time, there was no momentum that was gained during that time. And as Councilwoman Zerps brought up, in October of 2017, we held, I think, two different town hall meetings. And there were numerous, I know every council member at the time, myself and dozens of volunteers, went trudging in the snow to all sorts of different people's homes trying to get petitions signed. And ultimately, we never gathered enough. It's been an ongoing effort for years.
Go ahead, Sean.
I think everyone needs to realize this isn't something that just Sturgis is facing. I sat on a stakeholders meeting, just came home from Pier last Monday, and it was brought up particularly because it's in the news about us doing this, and Somerset and Piedmont. Until we step forward and set our foot down and say we are not responding, people do not take us serious. And I am here to tell you that I live in the country. I live out in the county. My kids drive on county roads. And Doreen's right. My heart and soul is into this ambulance. And for me not to respond to an emergency will kill me. So we're not the only ones looking at this. But until we do something and open everybody's eyes out there, nothing's going to change. It was just like Somerset. They got how many years of free service. They did not want to be in a tax district. They're now paying Rapid City and waiting 14 to 17 minutes for an ambulance to respond there. And Wall is the same way. New Underwood is also the same way. We go to meetings every month that we look at ambulance services are closing down because nobody will open their eyes and see what's going on. The state of South Dakota has made it that ambulance and fire are not essential, whatever they call it, services for the state, so you do not have to have your area covered by ambulance and fire. And until that's changed, there's no funding available from the state except for Homeland Security grants, which we have received over $60,000 this year. and through firefighters assistance grants, which we received, I think, $45,000 this year. So besides that, there's nothing available because of the centrality.
I would just like to say I'm very impressed with what people had to say this evening and also their attitude about things. And a lot of people have this very can-do attitude that we are actually going to go out and do something about this. And when I look at the time frame here, let's say that we do pass this tonight. Well, you've got 2 months plus to come forward with something that would be in good faith and probably maybe, say, 9 weeks. My guess is this. If you probably could not come up with something in a positive manner within 9 weeks, I'm not thoroughly convinced that you would come up with anything. At the same time, I'm not talking about, you know, that you have to have an election within 9 weeks or anything of that nature. I that's not necessary. It's not an expectation of the council for that to occur. But I think what the council, and chime in if anybody's got any other thoughts about this, I think what the council is thinking, we would like to see you move forward in good faith that something's going to happen. And we want it to be your idea. And actually, we do not want, we welcome you to go and give Daniel a call or give city staff a call and get information. Do we want to have any of us on some type of board with you? No, we don't. We want you to take care of things. And I think we're at that point right now, and this might not be the most popular thing to do for some people out there, but I would go ahead and move to approve to adjust the City of Sturgis Ambulance Service response area.
Effective July 15th?
Effective July 15th.
With proper notification to residents in the state of South Dakota?
Yes. Thank you, Terry.
As presented on the map?
Yeah.
as recommended?
Anybody else see this? Really is.
So we got a first by Dave.
And I'll second in a moment, but having been a person that has lived here my whole life, I know people all over the place. This is one of the hardest things I've had to do. But believe me, I owe it to the people that I live in, that live in my town or in my ward. It may be the wrong thing, but I have to do it. And somebody that was in the health field for 35 years, this is hard. The hardest thing I've done on this council, but I will second this.
I have a second by Terry.
You two are very well spoken, and thank you very much. I would concur with both of you.
Any last discussion, public or council? All those in favor of the motion, please indicate by stating yes.
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 Opposed or no? That motion carries unanimously, Faye.